Chapter 43. Circumstances had changed completely since his last visit, Rod reflected, as he took the Maserati up the drive towards the Dutch gabled house. He parked the car and switched off the ignition, sitting a while. Reluctant to face the man who had sponsored his career and whom Rod, in return, had presented with a fine pair of horns. "Courage, Ironsides," he muttered, and climbed out of the Maserati and went up the path across the lawns. Terry was on the veranda, in a gay print dress, with her hair loose, sprawled in a canvas chair, with the Sunday papers scattered about her. "Good morning, Mr. Ironsides," she greeted him as he came up the steps. "My husband is in his study. You know the way, don't you?" "Thank you, Mrs. Steiner." Rod kept his voice friendly but disinterested. Then, as he passed her chair, he growled softly, "I could eat you without salt." "Don't waste it, you gorgeous beast," Terry murmured, and ran the tip of her tongue over her lips. 15 minutes later, Rod sat stony-faced and internally chilled before Manfred Steiner's desk. When at last he forced himself to speak, it felt as though the skin on his lips would tear with the effort. "You want me to drive through the Big Dipper?" he croaked. "More than that, Mr. Ironsides. I want you to complete the drive within 3 months. And I want a complete security blanket on the development," Manfred told him primly. Despite the fact that it was Sunday, he was formally dressed, white shirt and dark suit. "You will commence the drive from number 1 shaft, 66 level, and make an intersect on reef at 6,600 feet with the SD. Number 3 borehole, 250 feet beyond the calculated extremity of the serpentine intrusion of the Big Dipper." "No." Rod shook his head. "You can't go through that. No one can take the chance. God alone knows what is on the other side. We only know that it is bad ground, stinking rotten ground." "How do you know that?" Manfred asked softly. "Everybody on the Kitchenerville field knows it." "How?" "Little things," Rod found it hard to put into words. "You get a feeling. The signs are there. And when you've been in the game long enough, you have a sixth sense that warns you when..." "Nonsense," Manfred interrupted brusquely. "We no longer live in the days of witchcraft." "Not witchcraft. Experience," Rod snapped angrily. "You've seen the drilling results from the other side of the fault?" "Of course," Manfred nodded. "SD number 3 found values of thousands of pennyweights. And the other holes went dry and twisted off, or had water squirting out of them like a pissing horse." Manfred flushed fiercely. "You will be good enough not to employ barroom terminology in this house." Rod was taken off balance. And before he could answer, Manfred went on. "Would you put the considered opinions of..." And Manfred named 3 men. "Before your own vague intuitions?" "They are the best in the business," Ron conceded reluctantly. "Read that," snapped Manfred. He tossed a manila folder onto the desktop, and then stood up and went to wash his hands at the concealed basin. Rod picked up the folder, opened it, and was immediately engrossed. 10 minutes later, without looking up from the report, he fumbled a pack of cigarettes from his pocket. "Please do not smoke." Manfred stopped him sharply. 3/4 of an hour later, Rod closed the folder. During that time, Manfred Steiner had sat with reptilian stillness behind his desk, with the glitter of his eyes, the only signs of life. "How the hell did you get hold of those figures and reports?" Rod asked with wonder. "That does not concern you." Manfred retrieved the folder from him, his first movement in 45 minutes. "So that's it," muttered Rod. "The water is in the limestone near the surface. We go in under it." He stood up from the chair abruptly and began to pace up and down in front of Manfred's desk. "Are you convinced?" Manfred asked, and Rod did not answer. "I have promoted you above older and more experienced men," said Manfred softly. "If I tear you down again and tell the world you were not the man enough for the job, then, Rodney Ironsides, you are finished. No one else would take a chance on you again. Ever." It was true. Rod knew it. "However, if you were to follow my instructions and we intersected this highly enriched reef, then part of the glory would rub off on you." That was also true. Rod stopped pacing. He stood with shoulders hunched in an agony of indecision. Could he trust that report beyond his own deep intuition? When he thought about that ground beyond the dike, his skin tickled with goose flesh. He almost had the stink of it in his nostrils. Yet he could be wrong, and the weight of the opposition was heavy. The eminent names on the report, the threats which he knew Manfred would not hesitate to put into effect. "Will you give me a written instruction?" Rod demanded harshly. "What effect would that have?" Manfred asked mildly. "As general manager, the decision to work certain ground or not to work is technically yours. In the very unlikely event that you encountered trouble beyond the fault, it would be no defense to produce a written instruction from me. Just as if you murdered my wife, you could not defend yourself by producing a written instruction from me to do so." This again was true. Rod knew he was trapped. He could refuse and wreck his career. Or he could comply and take the consequences, whatever they may be. "No," said Manfred. "I will not give you a written instruction." "You bastard," Rod said softly. Manfred answered as gently, "I've warned you that you would not be able to refuse to obey me." And the last twinge of remorse that Rod felt for his association with Terry Steiner faded and was gone. "You've given me 3 months to hit the Big Dipper. All right, Steiner. You've got it." Rod turned on his heel and walked out of the room. Terry was waiting for him among the protea plants on the bottom lawn. She saw his face and dropped all pretense. She went to meet him. "Rod, what is it?" Her hand on his arm, looking up into his eyes. "Careful," he warned her, and she dropped her hand and stood back. "What is it?" "That bloody Gestapo bastard," Rod snarled, and then, "I'm sorry, Terry. He's your husband." "What has he done?" "I can't tell you here. When can I see you?" "I'll find an excuse to get away later today. Wait for me at your apartment." Later, she sat on the couch below the Paravano painting and listened while he told her about it. All of it. The report, the threat, and the order to pierce the Big Dipper. She listened, but expressed neither approval nor disapproval of his decision. Manfred turned away from the window and went back to his desk. Even at that distance, there had been no doubt about his wife's gesture. The hand outstretched, the face turned up, the lips parted in anxious inquiry, and then the guilty start and withdrawal. He sat down at his desk and laid his hands neatly in front of him. For the first time, he was thinking of Rodney Ironsides as a man and not a tool. He thought how big he was, tall and as wide across the shoulders as a gallow. Any reprisal on Ironsides could not be physical, and it could not be immediate. It must be after the drive to the Big Dipper. "I can wait," he thought coldly. "There is time for everything in this life."